but this is usually only a temporary and complicated solution, since it is only a matter of time before his mistress also becomes familiar, and thus tiresome. Any woman toward whom a man becomes depolarized will feel his rejection, disgust, and turning away. In response, she will become angry and destructive. Her unhusbanded energy will begin to move chaotically, becoming even self-destructive. A man has no excuse. He must cultivate a polarized relationship to his woman and his world if he is to remain in relationship with them. You have a choice. You could choose to give your gift as a renunciate celibate, living only with the most minimal engagement with the world and women, or you could choose to engage the world and women fully, as a way of giving your gift. If you choose to engage the world and women fully, then you must maintain a certain degree of polarization or mutual attraction with them. Otherwise, you will begin to reject, resist, and resent the world and women, undermining your capacity to give your gift. You've probably seen the face of your woman when you've gotten to the point of putting up with her, rather than permeating her. She begins to look haggard and drawn. Her long face bespeaks a heart and body unravaged by the clarity and force of your masculine loving. She never seems really happy. Eventually, her resentment turns inward, and disease symptoms begin to appear in her body. Her skin seems to wither before your eyes. You dislike her smell. As her frustration and negativity build, you become less attracted, which of course deprives her of even normal human affection. When things get really bad, she seems so ugly and dark that you are repulsed, and your complete withdrawal leaves her barren at her core. You may stay together because you love each other, but both of you are totally depolarized, more disgusted than turned on by each other. During these times, you probably also begin to feel the same disregard toward the world. Over time, you may begin to lose interest in your projects and career. You may consider changing jobs or finding another woman. It seems that newness in and of itself will be more attractive and exciting than your worn-out woman and your droning career. And you are right. A new woman and new work will excite you and cheer you up. And this is exactly what a mediocre man does. He stays with a woman and a project for as long as they interest him and turn him on. When the excitement seems to wear off, he moves on to another, and then another hopeful source of polarity and excitement. It is not that time kills delight, but familiarity, neutralization, and lack of purpose. Another man might find your woman to be quite a turn-on, even though she seems old shoe to you. It may not be your woman who is worn out, but your capacity for desire. You may feel like having as little to do with her as possible, but your lack of desire is only that, a lack of desire. You have spent so much time with your woman that you have rubbed off on each other, like two magnets that have demagnetized each other. Familiarity breeds depolarization, and depolarization breeds contempt amongst lovers. Every moment you treat your woman as simply a childcare helper or a buddy, you are neutralizing the same sexual differences that would secretly attract you to your female babysitter or business acquaintance. Over time, you actually begin to behave more sexually neutral with your woman than you do with other women you meet throughout the day. Chances are, your woman is more sensitive to sexual energy than you. She will probably feel the effects of this sexual neutralization or depolarization before you will. And when she does, her first reaction will be to feel rejected. Not in any big way, but in a small, constant way that undermines her feminine radiance. Even when she shines, you will treat her with more sexual neutrality than a woman on the bus. She will feel hurt and become darkened, and you will feel even less attracted to her. Although both of you are playing into this downward spiral of endarkening depolarization, you must not blame her. A superior man always assumes complete responsibility, knowing that, ultimately, he has no control at all and everything is out of his hands. He acts with impeccable courage and persistence, expecting nothing but the inherent feeling of completeness he enjoys in the fullest giving of his gift. When your woman is looking withdrawn, dark, or downright ugly, assume she is a goddess and needs your divine invasion of her heart and body. Notice your incipient feeling of disgust for her dark mood, and take utter responsibility for her transformation. You know how fully committed you could be to, say, finishing a project at work. Treat her mood with the same ferocity of intent. Her mood is your challenge. Can you invade her body and heart with so much love and humor that she laughs, relaxes, and brightens in spite of herself? Can you bring out the consort in her by treating her with the same teasing and sexually pregnant touch and gaze as you would your mistress? You will not want to, that's for sure. When you are depolarized, the last thing you want to do is get it up for that potato. And yet, this is exactly what a superior man does with his woman and his world. He knows that when things get dreary, it is his own doing. He knows that he is only truly happy when giving his gift fully and to the last drop. He knows that depolarization is a sign that he has ceased giving fully of himself, and so the world and his woman have ceased responding in fullness. Sometimes you must move on to another job or another woman. That's fine if it is a true movement of growth, clear, empowering, and an aspect of the ongoing giving of your gift. But more often than not, your first impulse to move on comes when you have ceased invading the moment with your fullest capacity to give and instead are droning along, coping, rather than creating. You can spend decades coping with a job before you realize that you've wasted much of your life. After just a few minutes of coping with your woman, however, she will show you her pain. Her face will show it to you. Her tone of voice will reveal it. Her seeming ugliness will reflect the collapse of her radiant core in response to your ambiguity of desire. Her dark mood is as ugly and repulsive to you as your ambiguity is to her. It only takes a moment of meeting a real challenge to bring a man back to full purpose, an emergency or a threat that demands his best. And it only takes a moment of praise and deep appreciation to revoke a woman's radiance. It can happen to your woman at the grocery store or at the spa when a man signals his appreciation. Or it can happen at the kitchen table with you. Rather than deciding to move on because you are too weak to overcome your own neutralized lack of desire, try to take on the challenge of manifesting love in the dreary world and in your dreary woman. Use your body and mind to smithereen your woman's darkness into love. Even if she has yellow eyes and fangs, she still loves to dance. It's up to your freedom and strength of transmission whether she drains your energy, bites your wimbly head off, or surrenders to your fearless passion. Chapter 43. Use her attractiveness as a slingshot through appearance. A good woman is a source of inspiration and attraction into the world of a man. He must never forget, however, that neither the world nor his woman is the purpose of his existence. His practice is always to feel through women in the world, without suppression or disdain, into their source or very nature. A man's attraction to women must be converted from attraction to women into attraction through women. He must feel his desire without suppression, and then feel through his desire into the source energy of desire. He must feel through her beauty into the very delight of which her beauty is but a ripple and reminder. His whole relation to appearance is epitomized in his relation to women, either as obsession, distraction, or revelation. In your worship of women, never forget that they die. In your enjoyment of pleasure and delight, never forget that your sensations and feelings are fleeting and never absolutely enough. Women can attract you, heal you, and inspire your gifts, but they will never satisfy you absolutely. Never. And you know this. This is why women are so frustrating to you. Their promise attracts you, in one way or another, perhaps many times a day. And yet, throughout your life, you have learned and will continue to learn that they cannot make good on the promise. The fulfillment that seems like a woman is actually unavailable in her form. The play of your body wanting her body is the most obvious hoax of fulfillment. If you have ever gotten the woman you've wanted, you know that it is never as good as you hoped for, at least not for very long. and yet you continue to be attracted over and over and over to the same woman or to different women. It's all the same thing. You are deceived by the mirage of your own desire. You are deluded by your own excitement. Women are not to blame. They are to be cherished. And felt through. To feel a woman and be merely yanked by your desire for her form is stupid. Bulls and houseflies are yanked by feminine forms and desire. It is an endless, stupid round of mirage, desire, and need. And yet, so much of your life goes to looking at, thinking about, and desiring women. It's not something that can be simply shucked, but it is something that can be felt through. Like a slingshot, the momentum of your desire can be used to deliver you to the source that women only promise. Women are the epitome of appearance, all appearance, everything around you, potential and actual. And like women, all appearance seems to promise you something you want. You want success from your job. You want love from your woman. You want pleasure from your body. You want obedience from your dog. When you don't get what you want, when you lose money, your woman hates you, your body is in pain, and your dog bites you, you're unhappy. When you do get what you want, you are less unhappy. You are least unhappy when you are relieved of the need to get anything at all from appearance. Just driving in your car, wanting nothing, watching the trees go by, can be an epiphany of perfection. Deep sleep, orgasm, a day of fishing, looking into an infant's eyes, these occasions can relax you from your search long enough to realize that you already have what you seek. That what appearances promise is a revelation of your own deep and inherently blissful nature. You are that which you seek, but you have left your own deepness and are looking elsewhere. The stress of not finding it creates its own need to be released, and so the cycle continues. You are chasing your own tail, and much of the time, that tail looks suspiciously like a woman. But you don't need to stop chasing. Instead, chase. Allow yourself to feel how badly you want her. Feel how deep is the itch you want scratched. Feel the need that drives you, for most of your adult life, to yearn for a woman, in flesh or in fantasy. And discover what it is you really want. You've had tit, you've had pussy, you've had nurturing, you've had wild passion, and none of it lasted. It wasn't even that good as long as it did last. Your need is far deeper than any woman can provide. So what is it? Your ultimate desire is for the union of consciousness with its own luminosity, wherein all appearance is recognized as your deep, blissful nature, and there is only one. Your desire for union with a woman is a stepped-down version of this ultimate spiritual need. You can use your desire as a doorway to spiritual oneness. Magnify your desiring to the brink of madness. Sustain it with full breath, relaxed body, and open heart. Embrace your woman, if you have one, and give her what you want from her. Give it all to her. Give it away to her. Give her so much of what you want from her that you can't tell who is who. The chaser has become the tail, and all motion stops in the intensity of self-release. There is only one. The very light of your consciousness shines as the world, and it is looking back at you, appearing as a woman. She often appears as what you most fear and desire. She is the goddess, ready to fuck you, murder you, and enlighten you. Her appearance and your desire can be an endless drama of need, or they can merge, becoming a doorway to your divine source. In a moment of attraction, let your desire feel to her, but don't stop there. Feel through her. Do this constantly. Feel through her body when you are having sex with her. Feel through her anger when she is raging at you. Feel through her darkness when she seems ugly. Feel through her beauty when she most attracts you. By feeling through all of her forms, the superior man is not distracted or obsessed. Rather, his attention feels through the mirage of other, and he is released of need in the revelation of oneness. Desire can be a doorway to deep oneness. Sexual union is a fractal or stepped-down reflection of the ever-present wedding of consciousness and its inherent luminosity. The superior man embraces his woman as his own form. The revelation of deep oneness is love. Women can seem to bring you to your true nature, or they can seem to take you away from it. Each moment of appearance and of woman may be a distraction, an obsession, or a revelation. Notice the distractions, tits, ass, wealth, and fame, and practice the revelation of oneness by feeling through the distractions. Notice the obsessions, tits, ass, wealth, and fame, and practice the revelation of oneness by feeling through the obsessions. Practice it with your woman, for real. Bow down to her, and then bow down through her, into the deep, which only seems to have been another. Part 7. Body Practices. Chapter 44. Ejaculation should be converted or consciously chosen. There are many physical and spiritual reasons why ejaculation should be converted into non-ejaculatory whole body, brain, and heart orgasms. But there are also relational reasons. When a man has no control over his ejaculation, he cannot meet his woman sexually or emotionally. She knows she can deplete him, weaken him, empty him of life force. She has won. When a man ejaculates easily, he creates ongoing distrust in his woman. At a subtle level, she feels he cannot be trusted. She and the world can deplete and depolarize him easily. This subtle distrust will pervade the relationship. She will not only doubt him, but actually act to undermine his actions in the world. By undermining him, she demonstrates and tests his weakness. But she also hopes that through such tests, he can learn to remain full. You won't be willing to bypass ejaculation until you have experienced the much greater pleasures which lie beyond it. In the meantime, notice how you feel in the minutes and days following ejaculation. If you have accumulated a lot of tension in your daily life, ejaculation will afford you with temporary release and relaxation. But as you live your life with more and more true purpose, you won't accumulate so much tension during the day. Then you will discover that ejaculation, for the most part, actually depletes and weakens you. It feels great for a few moments, but the price you pay for the genital sneeze of ejaculation is a much higher level of mediocrity in your daily life. You will find that you just don't have the extra gusto necessary to live your life with utter impeccability. Excess ejaculations pave the road to living a good life, but not a great life. In a subtle way, excess ejaculations will diminish your courage to take risks, professionally and spiritually. You will settle for doing enough to get by, to be comfortable, but you will find that you would rather watch TV than write your novel, meditate, or make that important phone call. You will have enough motivation to live a decent life, but ejaculations drain you of the cutting through energy that is necessary to pierce your own wall of lethargy and slice through the obstructions that arise in the world. Your gift will remain largely ungiven. Your woman can feel all of this. She may be sexually turned on by making you ejaculate. It may please her in the short run. She may even say she feels sexually unfulfilled if you don't ejaculate. But there is also a deeper part of her that has never been sexually fulfilled by you because of your tendency to ejaculate frequently and soon. Most women can experience many orgasms, and deeper orgasms. And more importantly, most women have a natural connection between their genitals and their heart. When you ejaculate and lose your erection, you are probably depriving your woman of her fullest capacity of heart reception and expression, which is evoked by relaxed, loving, watery hours of your fearless and unstressful genital penetration. It is not simply your genital penetration that touches her deeply, though. The main penetration she feels is your yielding into her, through her in love. It is the fullness of your presence, the actual invasion of her body by your consciousness, that most ravishes her. Face it, if you are like most men, after an ejaculation or two, you don't really want to penetrate or ravish her anymore. You are content to relax in the emptiness of released tension. You don't feel much desire to enter your woman, bodily or emotionally, as you did just before you ejaculated. Your woman feels your lack of desire, and she also intuits, perhaps subconsciously, that your lack of desire also applies to the world. If she can drain you, so can the world. If she waits for your deepest gifts, as you lie feebly in the bed of undesire, so might the world. She senses that you have succumbed to her, that you have allowed temporary pleasures to diminish your capacity for fullest consciousness. She knows you will likewise succumb to the world. One part of your woman is happy. She made you come. She is happy you are relaxed and enjoying yourself. Another part of her is disappointed that you have allowed yourself to choose a temporary and pleasurable spasm over the endless ravishment of her and the world. Sometimes, she doesn't even know what she is missing. If she's never been with a man who has the capacity for full consciousness during sex, without conceding to the mechanical reflex of ejaculation, then she doesn't even know the extent of her capacity. She doesn't realize how deep and ecstatic sexual loving can be. She has never been utterly dissolved in loving, surrendered beyond a shred of closure, ravished through and through until there is nothing left to ravish, just openness, love, radiant and alive in all directions. Some women, because of their need to guard and protect their wounded heart, would actually prefer that you ejaculate. That way, they never have to open all the way, or expose their depths to your touch. They know that after some oral sex and maybe a half hour of intercourse, you will ejaculate and it will be over. They don't want to feel you persist beyond their habitual closure. They would rather stay in control and draw out your ejaculation whenever they want. It is especially this kind of woman who would most benefit from your undiminished capacity to lead her beyond all closure. And it is especially with this kind of woman that you can cultivate your capacity to persist in the giving of your love. The world will constantly test your capacity to give your gift in the face of refusal. A woman who refuses your loving is simply a manifestation of this aspect of the world. Deep down, your woman only wants love, as do you. Her refusal is a form of her fear. She may have childhood wounds that she is afraid of feeling. She may have been hurt as an adult and is afraid that if she opens, she'll be hurt again. But in the present moment, all emotional resistance comes down to the same thing, a refusal to love. Your masculine sexual gift is to coax, humor, shock, and caress her love into melting through her layers of fear. Without imposing your own needs on her, let your love penetrate to the deep part of her that is totally open to love, that is love itself, and coax it to the fore. Do this slowly, over time, not through conversation, but through bodily communicated presence, care, consciousness, and the liquid loving of sexual intermingling. When she feels the absolutely trustable nature of your loving, that you are truly with her, committed to loving, and you're not going to get lost in the self-enclosed spasm of your own pleasurizing, she will begin to trust you with her most vulnerable core. But not until then. Every time she feels you contorting into your own sensations, she feels you gone, not present, not trustable. She may enjoy giving you an ejaculation, but a deeper, perhaps unexpressed part of herself will not trust you. Why should she? Why should she expose her deepest part, her most vulnerable heart, only to have you convolute in a paroxysm of self-possessed gratification, followed by your withdrawal into post-ejaculative relational non-interest? Every time she sucks you into an uncomfortable need to ejaculate, she has conquered you. She controls you and masters you. She is in charge sexually, no matter what manly gestures you make before ejaculating. With a simple flick of her tongue, a silky moan, or a slurping tilt of her pelvis, she can drain you of life, and deep down, she knows the world can do the same to you. A superior man may choose to ejaculate occasionally, but such a choice is made freely, before even engaging in sex, not after it is too late, at the last uncontrollable moment before the physiological roller coaster starts heading down the deep dive into screaming release. A superior man is dedicated to the magnification of love through sexuality. he does not settle for less than the total surrender of his woman's heart, as well as his own, into the fullness of a divine union. The pleasures of this dissolution into love so far exceed the typical genital spurt that ejaculation is easily bypassed or postponed once a man and woman have expanded their sexual capacity. Just as your woman tests you emotionally, so she will test you sexually. Even when you are trying not to ejaculate, she may energetically begin to pull the ejaculation from you. As always, her deepest pleasure is in feeling your fullness, your strength, and your love, even while she is testing you. When you don't ejaculate, but demonstrate that the fullness of loving is more important to you than the quick thrill of genital release, then she can truly trust you. But she will continue to test your capacity for loving, even once you've demonstrated your capacity to bypass ejaculation for the sake of a much more profound bliss. The bottom line is this: if ejaculation is not completely a matter of conscious choice for you, your woman knows she controls you sexually. And as long as she knows she's in charge, she won't trust you enough to relax fully in the force of your loving. She will always keep her heart somewhat protected, rather than surrender so deeply in your embrace that she is splayed into divine brightness. She will go for whatever moist pleasures she can get before you lose interest. Your woman will be sexually, emotionally, and spiritually unfulfilled to the extent that you are addicted to ejaculation. And in many ways, the world will be just as unfulfilled by your gifts. Your addiction to cycles of release will stop you short of full and conscious disillusion into your deepest source, and so your true gifts will not emerge. By strengthening your capacity for the fullest communion sexually, you also strengthen your capacity to dissolve into the source of life and re-emerge soaked in gifts, erect with purpose, and full of desire to give your deepest gifts in the face of worldly resistance to you. A superior man dissolves into the mystery and re-emerges full of love to give, again and again, without petering out in his sexual relationship with his woman and in his creative relationship with the world. Chapter 45. Breathe Down the Front. All men tend to have blocks in the front of their body, along an imaginary line that runs from the top of the head, through the tongue, throat, heart, solar plexus, navel, and genitals, down to the perineum. The principal bodily key to mastering the world in women is maintaining a full and open front of the body at all times. The best method is through full and relaxed breathing, drawing energy down the front and freeing attention from neurotic self-concern. When you get nervous, your stomach tightens. When you are saddened, a lump forms in your throat. When you are threatened, your solar plexus feels queasy. When you think hard, your forehead wrinkles. When you consider the unsure future, you tense your jaw. For much of the day, you are tightening, tensing, and contracting the front of your body, from the top of your head, through your chest, and all the way down past your gut. The front of your body, especially your belly, is the place where your energy meets the energy of the world. When the front of your body is open and relaxed, your power flows freely, and your presence fills the room. You've probably been with people who seem to occupy more space in the room than most people. They seem to command attention, even though they are not doing anything obvious to attract it. The front of their body is so open that their energy flows freely through the room, magnifying their presence. Such people are remarkably relaxed, poised, and attentive. They are not all wrapped up in their own self-concern, hunched over a sunken chest, gritting their teeth and hardly breathing. This is the picture of a closed belly and chest. If the front of your body has accumulated tension throughout the day and throughout the years, you will hardly be able to sit up straight. Your belly and chest will be tight. Your thoughts will center on yourself. Your energy will remain constricted in your head and your awareness limited to self-concern. Your powerful presence won't fill the room at all. You might not even be noticed. Right now, notice your breath. Are you inhaling so deeply you feel your genitals bulging slightly? Is your belly rising and falling with your inhale and exhale like a mighty bellows? Your belly and lower abdomen are special places of power. If your breath does not reach these areas, you cannot recharge your batteries. You will feel weak and unsure of yourself. Your effect in the world will be minimal, less than your full potential. Inhale deeply through your nose and breathe through whatever tensions you notice in your body. Inhale deeply into your lower belly, then exhale. On your next inhalation, fill your entire belly, then your solar plexus and lower chest. Then exhale. Then inhale and fill your belly, solar plexus, and your entire chest, in that order. For several breaths, inhale fully in this way, filling your belly, solar plexus, and finally your chest. Then exhale fully, slowly and smoothly. Throughout the day, practice this kind of breathing in random moments. Pay special attention to any part of your body that seems particularly tense or closed. For instance, if the area around your navel seems tight, then inhale into that area. Literally inhale right into that area and open it with the force of your inhaled breath. Like filling a balloon, you can stretch open the entire front of your body with your inhale. In this way, you counter the effects of accumulated fear and anxiety stored in your body, which diminish your presence and force in the world. Throughout the day, as soon as you feel tension in the front of your body, inhale into that area and open it. The main way you generate bodily tension is by turning your attention back on yourself in self-concern, curling into yourself so tightly you feel all knotted up. Therefore, the main cure is to give yourself to others. Whenever you notice that you are mulling over your own problems, knotting energy into your body as tension, take that energy and create a gift for others. It could be as simple as doing the dishes in the sink, or as complex as building a business that will benefit others. Convert into service the energy that is knotting up the front of your body. Your tension is only the energy of a gift that has become backed up, unexpressed in your body. Your breath is a primary expression of your personal energy. Therefore, your breath is one of the primary ways to give your gift to the world. You can use your breath to open up other people's knots of tension, just as you open your own. Suppose you are with a person who seems a little tense. You can allow yourself to feel his tensions and then inhale into his tensions just as if they were yours. Inhale and open his tensions with the force of your inhalation. Then exhale and release all tensions, yours and his. Inhale and open his knots with the force of your breath. Then exhale and release all contraction, leaving only relaxation and love. All of this occurs without any physical contact. In fact, he probably won't have any idea that you are doing anything unusual whatsoever. You could do this practice at work, with your lover, or with a whole crowd on a bus. If you are alone in your home, you could imagine all the tension in the world and inhale the force of life into this tension to open it up. Then exhale, releasing the tension into love to be dissolved, like a handful of salt released into the ocean. By practicing this form of breathing, you uncurl your attention from yourself, alleviating the knots of contraction in the front of your own body, and at the same time, you assume your true status as servant to others, who also, in their own way, are serving you. These kinds of practices may seem odd to some people, but before you write such practices off as whimsical hokiness, try them. Do them and find out the results for yourself. The next time you are in a meeting with others, inhale into the front of your body and open all the knots, letting your force expand out into the room as a blessing, feeling all stress dissolve in the ocean of love on your exhale. Feeling the unease of others, open their knots with the force of your inhale, and then let the knots dissolve with the release of your exhale. Pervade the room with your conscious loving in this way. Even now, in this moment, inhale down the front of your body, fully expanding your belly and opening your solar plexus and heart. Allow your fullness of force to expand outward, through the room and beyond the room, so as to pervade all others with the conscious force of your breath. Make love with the world in this way, all day, pervading and dissolving all unease. Feel the world against your body like a naked woman, vulnerable and alive, and allow the front of your body to press into and through the world's body, liberating the knots of accumulated pain. Also, when sexually embracing your woman, use your breath to open her body and heart in exactly the same way. Fill her with the force of your loving, inhaling down through the front of her body as if it were yours, filling her genitals, belly, and heart with love energy. Then exhale, and let both of you dissolve in the ocean of your loving. Always pervade through her with your breath, inhaling and exhaling, so that her tension and closure dissolve in the force of your loving, and you dissolve in the giving. Chapter 46. Ejaculate up the spine. For most men, ejaculation involves spewing their energy and semen out through their genitals. Afterward, they feel they have released stress. The superior man's orgasm often explodes up his spine and into his brain, from there raining down through his body like an ambrosial bliss of rejuvenation. The technique for converting depletive orgasms into rejuvenative orgasms involves contracting the pelvic floor near the genitals and drawing energy upward along the spine through the use of breath, feeling, and intention. What is premature ejaculation? Some men ejaculate before entering their woman's vagina. Others ejaculate after 10 minutes of sexual intercourse. What matters is not when you ejaculate, but how deeply you are able to commune in love, with no boundaries, through the form of sexual embrace. If your ejaculation signs the end to your session of loving before both you and your woman have fully opened yourselves, then your ejaculation is premature. If you are like most men, your first sexual experiences as a teenager involved masturbation. Masturbating over and over ends up conditioning your body and nervous system to a habitual sequence: genital stimulation, mental fantasy, building up tension, and ejaculating. Teenage masturbation is essentially an exercise in fantasy, done alone, without much love or even human intimacy. By the time most men are having sex with women, they repeat the same sequence they learned while masturbating. Sex has become a road toward ejaculation, a road paved with internal imagery, self-enclosure, and the desire to release tension. To realize the full potential of sex, you must learn how to recondition your body and nervous system. You must learn how to unhabitualize the mechanics of your ejaculation and convert your orgasm into a massive profusion of energy which deepens, not ends, the lovemaking session. The first step is undoing the habits you learned while masturbating as a teenager. Instead of tensing your muscles as you become sexually stimulated, learn to relax them. When you notice your face squinching up, relax it. When you notice your breath getting fast and shallow, slow it down and deepen it. When you notice your belly tight and your chest hard, open your belly and soften the area around your heart. The next step is to redirect your attention. Learn to feel your partner more than your own sensations during sex. Rather than curling attention into yourself and feeling the pleasures moving in your own body, feel outward, into and through your partner. Feel your partner more than you feel yourself. Feel her movement, her moans, and her internal energy. Eventually, with practice, you will be able to feel through your partner, as if your partner's body were a doorway into a vast open space of energy, light, and awareness. This unobstructed feeling is the basis for true lovemaking. Extend your love out beyond yourself, and in time, through and beyond your woman. This takes practice, since there is a strong tendency to focus on your own physical sensations, especially during times of intense sexual stimulation. Counteract this tendency by practicing to feel beyond yourself and through your partner as if there were no obstructions to your loving at all. Besides relaxing and loving into and through your partner, you must become very sensitive to the force of your breath. Breath moves life energy through your body as well as your partner's. If your breathing becomes too shallow, the life force cannot be conducted through your body. Instead, this force builds up, usually in your head or in your genitals. If it builds in your head, you will begin to spend more and more time fantasizing about sex and women. If it builds up in your genitals, you will feel the need to ejaculate, either through sex or masturbation. Therefore, if you have not breathed fully during the day, by the time you approach your sexual partner, you will be filled with fantasies and ejaculative urge. So, a large part of avoiding premature ejaculation is to breathe fully, deeply, and with great force throughout the day. Your inhales should feel like they are drawing energy down the front of your body, filling your belly and genital region. Your exhales should feel like they are moving energy from your pelvic floor up your spine into your head. By breathing fully in this cycle, down your front and up your spine, your internal energy can flow freely. Your head and genitals don't get clogged or tense with energy, and your urge to ejaculate is diminished. Sex intensifies the life force in your body. As you become more and more stimulated, your breath quickens and your body begins to writhe with energy, which tends to become focused in the genital region. Unless you are careful to move this energy with your breath, it will build up in your genitals and cause a pressure that wants to be released through ejaculation. There is a specific exercise you can perform throughout sex and also during the approach to orgasm. By doing this exercise, you will convert the direction of the orgasm, so instead of ejaculating out your penis, you will ejaculate up your spine, experiencing intense bodily bliss and emotional openness, far beyond the quick pleasure and depleted peace following an ejaculative orgasm. To practice this exercise, you must learn to consciously contract the muscles of the floor of your pelvis. This area includes your genitals, anus, and perineum, which is the space between your anus and genitals. This exercise of contracting your pelvic floor feels a lot like you are trying to stop yourself from going to the bathroom. In addition to contracting the floor of your pelvis, practice pulling it upward into your body and towards your spine. This upward pull will actually lift your scrotum slightly up toward your body. As a single movement, practice contracting and pulling upward the entire floor of your pelvis, including the anus, perineum, and genitals. You can practice this in sets of 15 or 20 contractions, holding them as long as you can. Do several sets like this, 3 or 4 times a day. Eventually, you will be able to contract and pull up your pelvic floor easily, holding it for as long as you want. This means you have developed the necessary muscular control. Now you can practice the more subtle work of moving the energy up your spine. At first, it may seem like you are just imagining internal energy moving in your body. But with practice, you will more easily see or feel this energy moving. After all, it is the same energy that, during intense sexual stimulation, you have no trouble feeling build up in your genital region, which is then released through ejaculation. You can feel it building up like water behind a dam, wanting to burst out. Well, the same energy can burst upward, and when it does, you will experience an orgasm far more pleasurable than the brief burst of typical genital ejaculation, and also far more healing and enlivening. While you are having sex, but before you are close to ejaculating, practice contracting your pelvic floor as just discussed. While you contract it and pull upward, breathe the energy up your spine. You will have to experiment to determine whether to inhale or exhale the energy up your spine, although most people find that exhaling up the spine works best. If you combine the upward contraction of your pelvic floor with breathing up your spine, you should lose just a little bit of your erection, as well as the need to ejaculate. As you continue making love, repeat this exercise as often as you need to in order to maintain relaxation and openness. Even while practicing this technique, you may notice that you occasionally come very close to having an orgasm. At this point, stop moving, apply the upward contraction of your pelvic floor, and breathe the orgasm energy up your spine. In addition to the upward contraction of your pelvic floor while breathing up the spine, some men find it helpful to clench their fists and teeth while looking upward with their eyes, especially when the urge toward ejaculation is particularly strong. With practice, however, all the muscular action becomes very subtle and gentle until the entire exercise is done primarily through your breath, feeling, and intention. When the energy shoots up your spine, relax and enjoy the colors, feelings, and blisses that will fill your head and rain down through your body. Once you are proficient at this exercise, you can evoke the same sensations in your partner by feeling into your partner from your heart as the orgasm shoots up your spine. The upward movement of your energy will magnetize the same movement in hers. These practices will not be successful unless you are able to surrender as love in the midst of sexual embrace. Love is the governor of energy. More and more, you must practice being love in the form of sexual coupling. Regardless of how tough your day has been, regardless of the burdens you face in your life, sexing should be a time of practicing love. Like meditation or prayer, sex should be a special time of practicing opening your heart and giving love fully into and through your partner and in communion with that which you hold most sacred. If your heart is closed, your energy will be obstructed, and you will never be able to convert your spurt into a lightning bolt of love. If you don't practice love, your sexual energy will be governed by old habits of body and emotion, which are all about the tiny commotion of ejaculation. So if you want to expand sexual bliss as fully as possible, remember that your emotional disposition is far more important than the technical exercises themselves. Because each individual is different, you must experiment and discover what techniques, done as exercises of love, work best for you. With practice, you will easily be able to experience deep, non-ejaculatory orgasms that shoot up your body as light, leaving your heart wide open, your energy enlivened, and your body reverberating in bliss. You will be able to make love for as long as you want, and sex will rejuvenate rather than deplete your life force. In summary, this is what to remember as you experiment and discover what techniques work best for you. 1. Rather than fantasizing or entertaining inward sexual imagery of any kind, remain totally present, aware of your own body, breath, and mind, and especially attentive to your partner. Break the masturbatory habit of inward fantasy by consciously practicing sex as a relational play of love with your partner. 2. Keep your body and breath relaxed and full. Especially keep the front of your body relaxed, so that your belly is vast and your heart is soft and wide. This will help prevent too much tension from accumulating in any one area. 3. Learn to feel into and then through your partner, so that your attention is directed beyond your own sensations and even beyond your partner's sensations. Practice feeling outward, without limit, as if you are feeling to infinity. In other words, whatever you are feeling, feel it fully, and then feel through and beyond it, so that sex becomes a constant feeling through and beyond every sensation, rather than focusing on any particular sensation. 4. Throughout the day and during the sexual session, practice breathing so that your inhalation moves energy down the front of your body and the exhalation moves energy up your spine. Excessive chronic thinking or addiction to ejaculation is often a sign that your energy is blocked and you are not yet breathing fully in this circle throughout the day. 5. During sex, occasionally practice the upward contraction of the floor of your pelvis while breathing sexual energy up your spine so it fills your whole body. Especially as you begin to approach orgasm, you can combine the upward contraction of your pelvic floor with breathing up the spine in order to shoot your orgasm up into your brain and even out through the top of your head, rather than down and out your genitals. This upward orgasm will then feel like it is gently seeping down through every cell of your body, saturating you with thick, open light. These techniques will be less than effective unless you practice love during sex. The natural intelligence of love itself acts to circulate energy in the most healthy way possible. These techniques are mostly exercises to counteract years of poor sexual habits, usually initiated during teenage masturbation. After eliminating the mechanical habit of ejaculation and unobstructing your energy, the force of your heart will very naturally guide your orgasm so it explodes upward throughout the body and brain, before raining down in a profusion of bliss, which not only rejuvenates you, but dissolves your edges like shadows in the sun. Part 8. Men's and Women's Yoga of Intimacy. Chapter 47. Take into account the primary asymmetry. Intimate relationship is never the priority in a masculine man's life, and always the priority in a feminine woman's life. If a man has a masculine sexual essence, then his priority is his mission, his direction toward greater release, freedom, and consciousness. If a woman has a feminine sexual essence, then her priority is the flow of love in her life, including her relationship with a man whom she can totally trust in body, emotion, mind, and spirit. Man and woman must support each other in their priorities if the relationship is going to serve them both. Although you and your woman are equal beings, you are very different creatures. If she has a feminine sexual essence, her core will be fulfilled when love is flowing. For example, she can experience difficulties in her career, but if full love is flowing in her life, with her children, friends, and with you, then her core will be fulfilled. Not so for you. If you have a masculine sexual essence, then your woman and children can be loving you all day and night, but if your career or mission is obstructed, you will not feel at ease. You won't even want to share much intimate time with your woman until you have your career or mission back on track. Your woman's core is fulfilled by love. Your core is released from stress by aligning your life with your mission. To you, intimacy is something to be enjoyed in addition to your purpose. To your woman, intimacy is at the core of her life, and the tone of your intimacy colors everything else she does. When your intimacy is going great, your woman's life is filled with the color of love. She feels good at work, at home, in bed. When the intimacy is not going so great, when your woman feels unloved, rejected, hurt, or abandoned by you, then her day will be colored by hurt. At work, at home, and in the bed, the pain of unlove will color her disposition. But for you, things are different. When your intimacy is going bad, you can't wait to leave the house and go to work. There, you can be in your element, aligned with your purpose, and happy. For you, the intimacy is just one aspect of your life. When you are absorbed in your mission, you often forget entirely about your intimacy. For your woman, the intimacy is at the core of her life and colors everything else she does. This is the primary asymmetry in intimacy. It goes much farther than this, though. For most men, their woman is replaceable. Harsh, but true. If you are like most men, you know, deep down, that if you were to lose your present woman, you would deeply grieve, but you could eventually find another. Many times, in fact, you have probably fantasized about finding another woman even before you lose the one you have. Because a man's priority is his mission, he will always gravitate to a woman whom he feels would most support his mission. If he feels another woman would enliven him and give him more energy for his work, he might desire her as an intimate partner. However, you are lodged in the heart of your woman. She feels you all day. She senses where you are at. Feeling threads from her heart are connected to your heart, day and night. You are not replaceable in her perception. She does not frequently consider other options as you probably do. Whereas you live in a world of relational possibility, she lives in a world of relational actuality. Your relationship with her is not only at the core of her life, but is also the main determinant of her mood. If your woman has rejected her own feminine core, then she will struggle against her inherent heart connection with you. She will try to identify with her masculine side, attempting to deprioritize you and your relationship. She will think that she must live her own life and put more energy into her own career, for instance. While it is obviously healthy for every man and woman to learn to become whole and independent, it is self-destructive for your woman to try to lessen the import of your relationship in her life. If she has a feminine sexual essence, the desire for the flow of love is at her core, no matter how dedicated she is to her career or other activities. Without a deep and loving intimacy with you or with the divine, she hurts. It will never work for her to try to quell the pain by absorbing herself in her career, her art, or her friends. If she has a feminine essence, she must honor herself by owning her deep desire for the flow of love in her heart, just as a person with a masculine essence must honor his or her direction in order to be truly happy. Our culture has become so anti-feminine that many women are trying to deny the feminine core desires and adopt a masculine way of dedication to mission. By denying their feminine essence, such women are predisposing themselves to emptiness of heart, depression, and bodily symptoms of disease. Likewise, you must not deny your woman's feminine essence by feeling or saying to her, "Your whole life seems to revolve around our relationship. That's not healthy. You should have your own life, your own direction, your own career and friends. Stop complaining about our intimate problems and get a life." While it is common sense that she should live a fulfilling and engaging life outside of your relationship, it is sexual wisdom to understand that her feminine essence will always hold the flow of love at its center. That's just the way it is. This flow of love could be in direct relationship with the divine, although it is usually in relationship with a man. The desire for intimate loving is as central to your woman's life as the mission toward freedom, financial, psychological, and spiritual, is to yours. Think of how many hours a day you dedicate to your mission, and compare that with how many hours a day you spend serving your woman's deep desire for the magnification of love. If you want her to honor and support you in your quest for freedom, you must honor and support her in her love of loving. Her devotion to love has a lot to teach you. Some men feel guilty for not being as into the relationship as their woman is. You must understand that this is natural. If you have a masculine essence and your woman has a feminine essence, you will never be as concerned, distraught, or elated about your intimacy as your woman is. Don't fake it. Don't try to act concerned for the sake of your woman. She can feel where you are really at. Instead, be authentic to your core desires and dedicate your life with utter impeccability to your highest goals. If one of your highest goals is psychological or spiritual freedom, then you will highly value your intimacy. Nobody will press your buttons or reflect your asshole to you better than your woman. She will point out your weaknesses better than a boot camp drill sergeant. She will reflect your ambiguity or clarity better than any workshop teacher. She will do you better than a whore and give you more loving than you can handle. And all the while, she will shower your life with radiant blessing, healing, and enlivenment, if she learns to own her true feminine desires and you learn to own your true masculine desires. When you both honor the primary asymmetry in intimacy, you can each concentrate on your true desires rather than compromising for the sake of an imaginary truce between genders. When your life is truly aligned with your highest purpose, you'll become more present, more loving, and more humorous. Your woman will then be the first recipient of your magnified presence, love, and humor. If your intimacy is not constantly growing in this way, your life is not aligned with your highest purpose. Likewise, if your woman devotes herself to her true heart desires, you will feel it. Her energy, radiance, wisdom, and power to create heaven on earth will feed you constantly, even when it is not directed toward you. You will be inspired by her magic, enchanted by her sexuality, awed by her knowingness, and enlivened by the life that flows so lovingly through her body. However, if she has chosen to deny her heart desire and adopt more masculine goals of purpose and mission as her core needs, both of you will suffer. Her radiance will diminish, her guardedness will increase, and neither of your hearts will feel relaxed in the intimacy. Your woman could be a corporate executive, and you could be a house husband. That's fine, as long as you are living your highest purpose and her life is devoted to love. Honor this primary asymmetry in yourself and in your woman. Only when you are willing to support each other's core desires will the intimacy give each of you what you want, and then perhaps bring you